You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. On today's show, we are continuing my series of the top 10 biggest disappointments of the 2021 season. And this one is a cumulative disappointment for the entire Mets offense. Going into this year, we expected the Mets would have maybe multiple offensive all-stars, and they did not have one. And top to bottom, the entire lineup disappointed for the most part outside of a few standout performers. On today's show, in the first segment, I want to talk about what we thought the Mets were going to do offensively this season and where they came up short. In the second segment, I want to compare this Mets team to a team of the past who was known for a terrible offense, and show you how surprising it is that this current Mets team was actually worse than that former Mets team. And then in the final segment, I want to talk about what the Mets can do moving forward to correct their offensive woes heading into next season. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at justbaseball.com. Now, if we're just to go through my top 10 list of the biggest disappointments of the 2021 season, you're going to see a lot of guys on here because they did not contribute offensively the way we expected. Starting off, you got number 10, Luis Guillorme, where his injuries robbed him of a chance to get steady playing time for the first time in his career. I'm not saying Guillorme would have changed the offense, but he's certainly been a good offensive player since the second half of the 2019 season. And when you had other guys who had to take those at-bats like Jose Peraza, Travis Blankenhorn, Brandon Drury had his moments, but overall still didn't have the best of seasons. You go top to bottom with all the different guys that took some at bats. Wilfredo Tovar got a little bit of run. Having Guillorme would have helped. You go to number 9, we have evaporation of pitching depth. Number 8 was Dominic Smith and JD Davis. That dilemma of what you do with those players continues. That certainly impacted the Mets. Dom had a great 2020 season, was not that this year. JD Davis did not have the worst offensive season, but did not hit the home runs, and the defense continued to be a problem. You go to number 7 on my list, I have Michael Conforto. Number 6, Jeff McNeil. Number 5, James McCann. Number 4, Brandon Nimmo, who was great when he was on the field, but was not on the field enough. And then number 3, yesterday's show, we talked about Carlos Carrasco, which does not file into a reason for the Mets offense not being successful, but the composite lands us at number 2. We thought the Mets were going to have a star-studded all-star team making up their lineup this year. You look at the career all-star appearances across the board. McCann was an all-star in the past. Alonso, McNeil, all-stars in the past. Lindor, multi-time all-star. Michael Conforto, an all-star. Brandon Nimmo could play at an all-star level and certainly did in 2018. Dominic Smith played at an all-star level in 2020. There was just no game. JD Davis, no one doubted him offensively. So there wasn't supposed to be big holes in this lineup. You were concerned about the defense at third base and in left field, but you weren't supposed to be worried about an offense here. And yet, if you look at this team outside of Pete Alonso, who met expectations, Brandon Nimmo, who again went on the field, met expectations, and Jonathan Villar, who exceeded my expectations. I mean, there's not a single hitter in this lineup that you look at and say, yeah, you met expectations. You had a good year. Or even, you know, to another extent, you exceeded expectations. You usually need some guys to step up and do more than you expected. And the Mets didn't have that at all. Again, outside of Jonathan Villar, because expectations were so low and he had a strong year. But this team never came together offensively. And if you look at Zips projections going into the season for the Mets and this lineup and the home runs they were going to hit, you take that starting 8, you throw in Pilar, Nito, Villar, and Guillorme off the bench. Zips had the Mets at hitting 231 home runs for their top 12 offensive players. Instead, that group hit 149 home runs, almost 100 less than what they were projected to do, what you were expecting. Now, as a team altogether, and that's including getting, you know, home runs from Jose Peraza and Brandon Drury and all these other guys, the Mets had 176 home runs this year. That is a stark drop off from what they did in 2019. I know it was a juice baseball, but still, and a stark drop off from the clip that they were hitting home runs in the 2020 season, although that was a shortened campaign. The Mets averaged 3.93 runs per game in 2021. 2020, they averaged 4.77 runs per game. 2019, they averaged 4.88 runs per game. This team was supposed to score way more than 4 runs a game, and they didn't even get to that mark. Francisco Lindor was supposed to change the lineup. He was supposed to be an all-star. And I've defended Lindor many times in the past, and I do believe his season was better than it's been made out to be. At the same time, though, you expected him to be better than just a league average hitter, and that's what his stats ultimately showed when the season was done, a little bit above average. He did hit 20 home runs, but you had a 3-home run game in September. I believe he hit 8 or 9 in September to get to that mark. That shows you, leading up to that point, he just was not the power hitter you were expecting. Dominic Smith, JD Davis, Jeff McNeil, Brandon Nimmo, none of them hit the home runs you would have expected. And really, outside of Pete Alonso, no one did. And that is the problem with this team. They hit the ball on the ground all the time. They didn't get the ball in the air. And also, they were terrible with runners in scoring position. And so when you combine the approach, the inability to get those runners in, the inability to hit the ball out of the ballpark, of course this Mets team is still, you know, one of the worst offenses, or was one of the worst offenses in baseball, and is sitting on the sidelines right now because they did not fulfill the potential that we thought of them going into the season. And the craziest stat to me, what we're going to talk about in just a minute here, is to go back and look at the 2018 Mets, right? That team was awful. Jacob DeGrom barely gets to 10 wins on his final start in a Cy Young season where he was spectacular. The lineup around him, just awful day in, day out. Jose Reyes hitting below the Mendoza line, but still playing almost every day. Jose Bautista was one of the better Mets that year when you had a group of Austin Jackson, who I don't even remember being a Met. And you just had a complete roster full of 30-year-old players who were journeymen, and the team just never came together. David Wright never played. Yoenis Cespedes didn't play enough. I mean, the entire thing was just in complete shambles that year. Yet, with all that said, and we're going to talk more about it in a minute, the Mets averaged 4.17 runs per game that year. The 2018 Mets were a better offensive team, with Wilmer Flores getting a majority of the playing time at first base over a team that had Pete Alonso hitting 30-plus home runs. That should tell you all you need to know. We're going to talk about it more in just a minute. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Spotify Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Yes, you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. All you have to do is download the free Green Room app now, which is currently available on all devices. Be sure to create your profile, link your Twitter, join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Finkelstein Ryan, and you'll be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. I will be live throughout the offseason. I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Mets. I'll see you there. Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. So when comparing the 2018 Mets to the 2021 Mets, I just want to go through the names here of the players at each position and which group would you think was going to be more productive. At catcher, 2021, you got James McCann and Tomas Nito. McCann, the number two free agent catcher on the board, coming off an all-star season in 2019, an incredible shortened campaign in 2020, and we know what happened. For the 2018 Mets, you had Devin Mesorasco and Kevin Plawecki getting a majority of the playing time. Those catchers hit 17 home runs in 2018. This year's group hit 13 with McCann and Nito. You go to first base. Pete Alonso compared to Wilmer Flores, Adrian Gonzalez, Dominic Smith, Jay Bruce got some time at first that year. Obviously, Pete outshined all of those guys, but to think that the offense that Alonso is anchoring ended up being worse than that one is still stunning. Second base, Asdrubal Cabrera compared to Jeff McNeil. Going into this year, you'd say, Jeff McNeil, come on. Come on. Jeff is going to go up and he's going to put together a 4.5, maybe a 5 war season. He's going to hit 300, get on base at least a 380 clip, going to go up with a WRC plus of 135, just be an all-star once again. Finally gets to play second base every day, his natural position. He'll be comfortable next to Lindor, all that good stuff. Well, he landed on the top 10 disappointments list for a reason, did not have a good season. And a couple years ago, Asdrubal Cabrera at 32 outperformed what McNeil did this year in the middle of his prime. You go to shortstop, Amed Rosario compared to Francisco Lindor. Rosario was not as good of a player in 2018 as Lindor was this year, but still, Lindor should have been head and shoulders better, and he wasn't, at least offensively. Defensively, we know the difference there. I mean, Lindor was head and shoulders better than Rosario and is the best shortstop in the sport. So that was a big benefit of having Lindor as part of this team. But again, the offensive upgrade just was not what we expected it to be. Go to third base. This is actually my favorite comp. You got Todd Frazier versus Jonathan Villar. Both of them had exactly 18 home runs and 18 doubles in their respective seasons with the Mets. Villar had a better year if you look at the advanced metrics. Yet Todd Frazier had 59 RBIs in 2018. Villar, even with 18 home runs and 18 doubles, only had 42 RBIs. That just tells you the offense around these guys in their respective seasons. Even in a year where the Mets were terrible offensively, Frazier had more ducks in the pond for his home runs. He was able to get at least close to 60 RBIs with 59, whereas VR couldn't even crack 50 with 18 home runs, which is almost a riddle how that happened. You go to the outfield and you see some of the same names with Conforto and Nimmo being part of both teams. And in a lot of respects, they had better seasons in 2018 than they did this year. And that is a big reason for the Mets struggles this year. Nimmo, it was just he played 140 games that year. He was probably more productive this year under limited playing time. Was definitely a better defensive outfielder. But again, the injuries. You go to Conforto, and he was way better in 2018. And then you look at some of the other ancillary parts, whether it was Jose Bautista, Jay Bruce, as I said, Austin Jackson. I mean, that team shouldn't have been better than the offense that Dominic Smith put up or Jeff McNeil put up at the end of the season in the outfield. But here we are. That's what just happened. And so you look at all of it, and you try to understand why this team was so bad. And it comes down to a pretty obvious stat here. The Mets just continued time and again to kill worms and drill the ball into the ground. And you look at where they ranked among all teams in baseball, their weighted runs created plus, which again is an advanced metric that measures hitters based on a league average of 100. As a team, the Mets WRC plus was 96, which is 16th in baseball. Their BABIP, which is batting average on balls put in play, was 291. That was also 16th in baseball. Their on-base percentage of 314 was 17th in baseball. Their walk rate of 8.5% was 18th in baseball. Their K rate of 23.8 was 20th in baseball. So they were right in the middle for most of these metrics, yet their offense produced at a rate that made them a top five worst offense in baseball. And why was that? You go to the power. Isolated power, ISO, at 152. That was the 25th mark in baseball. Their slugging percentage of 390, also the 25th mark in baseball. They just did not hit the ball with any power, and that was a big reason why they struggled. You see the teams who are thriving right now in the playoffs. The Red Sox, the Astros, the Dodgers, even the Braves. These are teams who get air under the ball and hit home runs. That is the way you win in 2021, and the Mets did not do that. What I want to do, though, is talk about where they came up short in that department this year and what they can do to change that moving forward. We'll get to that in just a minute. Built Bar is the best-tasting protein bar ever. Did you know there are so many delicious flavors of Built Bar that there really is something for everyone, whether you want the coconut bar, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, or my personal favorite, cookies and cream. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get two of each, and you can see which ones you like best. These really are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate, they're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy. Built Bars come low in calories, low in sugar, but they're high in protein and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for the start of another football season, and as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With the new updated site and interface, there's even more odds, props, and contests available at betonline.ag, which continues to be your number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up by using the promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, baseball, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. So Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal just wrote an article where he was talking about ground ball rate and how that translated to playoff teams and their success offensively this past season. He went through the numbers, and the teams with the lowest ground ball rates are the teams that have been the most successful. The number one team when it comes to the lowest ground ball rate was the Giants. Then you had the Braves. Then you had the Dodgers. Then you had the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, then the Cardinals, and then the Astros, the Blue Jays, the only one of those teams that did not make the playoffs, but their offense was certainly not the reason. It came down to the final day of the season for Toronto to end up missing out on the playoffs. So clearly they were good enough, but it just comes down to that ability. Can you hit the ball in the air? And it's not just about hitting home runs, although that is clearly a big byproduct of hitting the ball in the air. It's also the fact that these teams now are shifting their defenses in the infield at a rate where they know your tendencies. And it's going to be harder than ever to get the ball through the infield on the ground. It's just not easy to do anymore when you're a lefty who pulls the ball all the time and you got an extra infielder over there. If you're a righty now, they're doing the same thing, or even just the alignment inside. I was watching a playoff game the other day, and they were looking at the hitter's tendencies and where they sprayed the baseball. What percentage of the time it went towards third base, what percentage it went towards shortstop, and all those different avenues. And there was a fielder in every single, you know, part of that pie chart or that spray chart, I should say, where the other team had their defense aligned perfectly based on the hitter's tendencies. So it's harder than ever to actually find success hitting the ball on the ground. Tony Gwynn would be in trouble nowadays. The difference nowadays, you have to hit it over the shift. You have to find those gaps. You have to hit those home runs. And the Mets just did not do that this season. And that's why they were one of the worst offenses in baseball. You look at their ground ball to fly ball rate at 1.26 this year, ninth worst mark in baseball. Their ground ball rate of 44% was the 10th highest mark in the game. Their fly ball rate of 35% was the 23rd lowest. What's interesting about the Mets, you could say, all right, well, they probably had bad plate discipline. They weren't identifying the pitches they should swing at. Well, that's not the case. When it comes to zone percentage, which is swinging at pitches that are in the zone, the Mets swung at 71.5% of those pitches. That is the fourth best mark in baseball. Here is where you get to that drop-off, though. Their zone contact percentage of 84.1% ranked 18th. Zone contact percentage is the amount of times contact is made in the zone divided by the amount of times you swing in the zone. So the Mets were not squaring the ball up. They were fouling it off a bunch. They were not making contact a bunch. We've talked about those struggles for a lot of hitters on the Mets. James McCann and Jeff McNeil are the first two that just popped to mind in this series, the top 10 biggest disappointments of the 2021 season. We talked about just that. Their plate discipline wasn't bad. It was their ability to make good contact, put a good swing on the ball, and get air under it. I remember early in the season with Francisco Lindor, we saw something very similar. That was his problem. He wasn't having any issues getting his walks. He wasn't striking out more. He just was not making solid contact. I don't know what went on this year. I don't know what a change in hitting coach is going to do. I really, I can't tell you. I really don't know. Maybe the Mets this year were getting so much information that they were analyzing the zone better than ever. Their plate discipline was great, but these guys weren't used to it and they struggled. Maybe it's because you had guys who went from getting absolutely no information in the Wilpon era to suddenly having too much information to deal with. I mean, you're talking about Michael Conforto, Jeff McNeil, Dominic Smith. J.D. Davis did come from the Astros background, but he didn't have success in it. Found more success when he went to the Mets with less analytics. I wonder if that is the case here, that this was a team that needed some time to adjust the analytics. And maybe next year, now that they have a full season under their belt dealing with this, you can see bounce backs from Jeff McNeil and Dominic Smith and some of these guys who maybe are more comfortable processing that information and implementing it. I don't know. That's something that you have to consider. But when it comes to this team and you're looking at what can change, they're going to need a lot of guys to bounce back. I've been talking about this on the show recently. You can't expect the Mets to completely overhaul and flip their roster in one offseason. They're going to have to bank on this team being successful, and they're going to have to bank on running it back to a certain extent. These guys have to be better because you're not going to do anything at the catcher position. I really don't think so. With Alvarez on a fast track to the majors, with James McCann and the contract he got, which is immovable right now. Well, it's not immovable. It's not a crazy salary, but I don't imagine the Mets would be trying to move that contract or a team would be willing to give anything of value for that contract right now. So you're going to go into next season with McCann and Nito behind the plate. You're set with Alonso at first. Francisco Lindor's your shortstop. Jeff McNeil, Brandon Nimmo, they're going to be starting somewhere. You're already talking about five of your nine positions in the lineup locked up. Depending on who gets moved, you have to get at bats for Dom, JD, Robinson, Cano. I mean, there's just a lot of mouths to feed already. And these are all supposed to be good offensive players. The question is going to be, how do you align them defensively? And which one or two bats can you add to this lineup that are going to make the biggest difference? Is it Starling Marte? Is it bringing back Javi Baez? Is it going all in on a Carlos Correa? Is it trying to pry Chris Bryant from San Francisco? There's a lot of big names out there, not to mention, you could hit the trade market, call up Cleveland again, say, hey, why don't we get Jose Ramirez off your hands because he's going to start to make a ton of money. He's about to be a free agent. And maybe you reunite him with Lindor. There's a lot of ways the Mets can play this offseason. But the biggest problem for the team this year and why they weren't successful, it is because they could not hit, and they certainly could not hit for power, and they were hitting the ball on the ground way too much. That's going to be all, though, for today's edition of Locked On Mets. And considering how bad this offense was, you're asking, how is it not the number one disappointment from the 2021 season? For me personally, the reason is because Jacob deGrom and the season he was on in the first half, that's the biggest disappointment, is that he could not complete that season. I want to talk about Jacob deGrom tomorrow, how he had a chance, if not for COVID and some of the things that have transpired over the last 2 years here, to go on one of the greatest runs of pitching in MLB history from 2018 through 2021. There is a world where Jacob deGrom wins four straight Cy Youngs and puts himself in a position that few pitchers have ever done before. We're going to talk about all that tomorrow. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. You can follow Locked On Mets wherever you get your podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Now for your second listen today, check out the Locked On MLB podcast. Sully has you covered for everything going on with the MLB playoffs this October. Follow Locked On MLB wherever you get podcasts.